Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. 76 years ago, the troops of Allied nations landed in France to begin the liberation of Europe from the Nazi menace. Brigadier General Norman Cotta landed in the second wave at Omaha Beach with the 116th Infantry Regiment in the sector known as Dog White. They came under heavy machine gun, mortar, and light artillery fire. As one of the highest-ranking officers on the beach that day, Cotta is credited with rallying shell-shocked troops to punch through the seawall and make a breakthrough on Omaha Beach. It was during this action that he asked a group of soldiers next to him, "What outfit is this?" To which he received the reply, "Fifth Rangers, sir." Hearing this, General Cotta stated, and I'm cleaning this up because it's a family show, "Well, gosh darn it, if you are Rangers, then get up there and lead the way." From that day forward, the motto of the U.S. Army Rangers became "Rangers, lead the way." And they've done so in countless actions around the globe since then. One example, Sergeant First Class Christopher Domé. Over his career as an Army Ranger, he was awarded 3 Bronze Star Medals, 5 Army Commendation Medals, the Meritorious Service Medal, a Purple Heart Medal, the Afghan Campaign Medal with 2 stars, and the Iraq Campaign Medal with 3 stars. Christopher was killed on October 22, 2011, while serving on his 14th, I repeat that again, 14th deployment. He would become the most deployed soldier in U.S. history to be killed in action. Today, we're going to share a story with you about a compelling and rather unique tribute to Christopher and countless other soldiers who gave their lives protecting freedom. Joining us to share this story, our first guest, or first of two, is Christopher's mother, Scotty Domé. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, Scotty.
Hi, Ben. It's great to talk to you today.
Okay, and next we're joined, also I should say, we're joined by Army Ranger and now CEO of Combat Flip Flops, Matthew Griffin. Matthew, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Good morning, Ben. Great to be here.
Now, may I call you Griff?
Please do so.
Everybody else does. So Scotty is a veteran of American Warrior Radio, so let's start with you as the new guy, Griff, because Combat Flip Flops are the officially endorsed footwear of American Warrior Radio. Oh, we'll get to that later.
They are.
Shameless plugs. It's okay. So for me, because of that, the transition from elite Army Ranger to manufacturer of flip-flops seems a perfectly natural transition, but maybe not to our listeners. Explain to us a little bit briefly, Griff, about the unique story behind your company.
I did 4 tours. I saw a lot when I was over there. And I got out and I still felt compelled to give back. And I found that, businesses were the number one thing to promote security and prosperity in those areas. So we just started making fashion and lifestyle products in war zones. And then we use our profits to put little girls to school in Afghanistan because we believe women's education is really going to be the thing that catapults the country forward. So we've been doing that for about 7 years. It's great. We've got hundreds of thousands of customers, we call them the unarmed forces, and it's just a peaceful progress forward. We love our job, and we love who we work with, and we love, putting little girls in school.
Well, and Griff, I got to tell you, my day job, I do a lot of work with nonprofits, and so I love the concept, and congratulations on your success. And listeners, I encourage you, visit combatflipflops.com, if I got that correct, Griff.
That's it. That's the site.
Okay. Well, I'm not beyond a little shameless promotion here. Scotty, begin the story of this rather unique adventure by telling us what you overheard at a Ranger reunion. I think it was just over about a year ago.
Well, I was at the Army Ranger Hall of Fame, and this name comes up, Jean-Marc Lefranc. I'm going, that's French. And honestly, I just can't imagine a Frenchman fighting in the American Army Rangers. Well, he is the guy who has planned the D-Day events. So I went up and talked to him afterwards, and then all the Rangers were going, oh, we want to go. It was a 75th D-Day anniversary coming up, and everybody was just excited, and I thought, I want to go. So I emailed Jean-Marc and said, hey, I want to come. And he said, you got to get your housing book. So he sends me an email with a lot of billets, but they're all in French. And then I really didn't know who Griff was. We were just Facebook friends. And I noticed not soon after I got home, he said he was jumping. So I just messaged him and I said, hey, did you know my son? He said, yes. I said, would it be possible to jump with Rangers to honor my son at the 75th. He said yes. I couldn't believe it. Oh, I was like totally wired. I've always wanted a parachute, and it's something I would have liked to have done with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris said yes, and he made it happen.
Well, it wasn't quite that easy, Scotty, because as I understand it, you start going through the rules and regulations, and they're asking you questions about ground chutes and
stuff. So Griff he gives me a link to go, I think it's some RAF site in England, to sign up. So on the opening page, it's like round canopy jump, how many jumps have you had, and how many in the last 3-6 months? Well, I've never jumped. So actually, I did some research, found the company in Florida that was sponsoring this. I emailed them, told them the situation, could I jump, and they said no. And I couldn't even register to do it. So I got back with Griff and said, hey, I don't understand anything on that page. And I emailed them, they said no. And Griff said, don't worry, we'll make it happen.
And Scotty, folks, stick around, because this is just such a heartwarming and compelling story. And you can check it. There's a documentary that was made about all this called Here I Am, Send Me. You can find that on YouTube free of charge. I encourage you to watch it. Griff, in the documentary, there's a scene where you say it's Chris's mom, you know, referring to Scotty's request to jump out of an airplane with you and your fellow Rangers. It's Chris's mom. I mean, if she wants to jump out over Normandy, she's going to jump out over Normandy. And I found that very heartwarming. But tell us a little bit about, there were two teams, Team Freedom and Team Gold Star. Kind of a, I don't want to say a motley crew. It was a very interesting mix. You know, yourself, Griff, Scotty, who was lovingly referred to as Special Cargo, Zach Carbo, another Army Ranger who, I mean, this guy's Captain American recruiting poster type guy. Mark Nusch, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, he was a member, a Green Beret of Task Force Dagger, whose exploits were made famous in the book and the movie 12 Strong. A couple of Red Bull athletes. I mean, you got an interesting team that you put together. Whose idea was this originally, Griff? Or where did it come from?
Well, it's, you know, for me, I had a Ranger buddy who said, hey, I'm just going to static line jump out over Normandy. My grandfather got shot down as a tail gunner in that area during World War II, so I always kind of wanted to jump out of an airplane. 75th Rangers, 75th anniversary, and I just like, I'm going to go. And I was just going to round canopy jump into Normandy. And as soon as Scotty said, hey, I want to jump, you know, it became just a series of, it's just technical question, right? Like, people fall out of airplanes all the time. How do we help Scotty do that over France? And really quickly, like, you know, I love Scotty, but I wouldn't want her to jump out on a static line, because it's, you jump out of an airplane at 1,000 feet and you fall to the ground as fast as you can. So that way you don't get shot in the air and then you impact the ground like a sack of bricks. That's kind of how military parachuting is. And it just wouldn't be safe for her. So, okay, we've got to go free fall. So we have to, you know, jump out of, you know, anywhere between 4 to 8,000 feet and then fall for a little bit to the ground. And I knew that Scotty wasn't going to be able to do that. So I contacted Zach Carbo, who also served with her son, Chris, and said he was a tandem master, and said, hey, can you jump her out? And at the same time too, I had to ask Zach, like, hey man, can you teach me how to skydive? Cause I didn't know how to skydive when this whole thing went down.
Wait, no, stop.
Yes.
You must be the only Army Ranger who's never, as you say, fallen out of a plane before. Come on.
No, so static line is military jumping. It's, you've got a big pack on your back, and there's a cord hooked to the plane. And as soon as you jump out, the cord is attached to the plane, and it pulls the parachute for you. Right, and that's, I've got, you know, 60 or 70 of those jumps, but I've never actually done free fall, like skydiving, parachuting.
Okay.
And that was the only way to get her to the ground. And so I had to actually go through free fall training just to be able to jump out of the plane with Scotty as well. So it was a big train up for all parties. And we just knew that, you know, Rangers, in short amount of times, we do very complicated missions. And on a scale of 0 to complicated, this one was like a 3 out of 10. And we had the team and the ability to put it together. And everybody that we asked, from the Red Bull athletes to everybody else, we just said, hey, would you help us do this? Would you help us get Scotty out of an airplane? And without reservation, everybody said yes. It wasn't even a second of reservation, and it was pretty cool.
Outstanding, folks. This is the 76th anniversary of D-Day. On the 75th anniversary, Scotty and Griff and several others jumped out of literally vintage World War II airplanes. You can learn more. Go to YouTube and look up Here I Am, Send Me. This documentary is just absolutely wonderful. You're going to hear more of this compelling story when we come right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking about a very unique, unusual, and heartwarming event that took place on the 75th anniversary of D-Day, a parachute jump over Normandy. And joining us today are two people who participated in that jump, Scotty Domay, who is the Gold Star mother of Christopher Domay, and Matthew Griff Griffin, who's a former, or I should say retired Army Ranger. Griff, I don't know if Rangers are like Marines, but retired Army Ranger and CEO of Combat Flip Flops. The documentary is called Here I Am, Send Me. You can find it free of charge on YouTube. Matt, or Griff, starting back with you, one of the visual parts of this I love so much is your teams, your Team Freedom and Team Gold, are jumping out of these aircraft. You mentioned for most of them it was a static line jump. And we're not talking C-130s. We're talking C-5 air trains. I mean, these are vintage World War II planes, and you're jumping wearing World War II uniforms and patches, and it, wow.
And boots.
And boots. Yeah, thanks for that, Scotty. And boots. So whose idea was to do it like that?
Well, so it's, you know, every year over in Normandy, France, the homage that's paid to the American soldiers who gave their lives to liberate them from the Nazis is, it's real, it's palpable. So people from all over Europe come in, they come in dressed in, and like when you're driving to Normandy along the roads, you know, people are, you know, having their SUVs and on trailers or vintage motorcycles or vintage Jeeps and vintage military vehicles. And it's a, you know, a week long tribute, you know, to the liberation of France. And so everybody there is period dressed. And one of the requirements to be a participant in this jump is to wear period wear. So, you know, we wore, Ranger gear, Team Freedom. They are more special operations, so they represented more of the OSS side, so they wore OSS uniforms, like Team Frederick and Team George that jumped in before the invasion. And it was just really fun. It really amplified the energy, and it really solidified you in the event by being there and being dressed up the entire time.
Now, Griff,
it was quite spectacular.
It appeared that you even got the traditional haircut, it looked like. Was that on purpose, or is that the way you always wear your hair?
It's a variation of that, but you know, I went in and I went to my barber with all the old school photos of like the World War II haircuts and say, all right, we're gonna have to do this up. We're gonna go all the way. And you know, that's just how we do things as Rangers, is all the way. We made even the camera crew wear all uniforms to make them feel as a part of the team and part of the event. And a lot of those, you know, you keep mentioning in the documentary, but a lot of those images like on the drop zone where the guys are standing in the grass, that's actually the camera crew. But it really helped show the message of what it looked like and felt like. It's pretty fun.
I tell you what, with what we're going through right now, barbers, I almost forgot what those guys look like. Scotty, one of the jumpers talked about the importance of doing this and why, and it's because the importance of future generations not losing a sense of history. Your company, Blackside Publishing, publishes books related to veterans and stories of Gold Star families. How important is it to you that we never forget not just men like Christopher, but all of them, the men and women who have made that sacrifice?
Well, as a writer, I just think it's important to document this. But also, from another point of view, like the Vietnam vets don't talk much about their stories, but it's healing to write. So it's kind of a two-pronged thing. And I think it's important for the people who were there and experienced to write their experiences. Also leave that legacy for their children, so that their children know. Because history is really defined by the person with their own political agenda who writes the history books. But the people who were there can relate their experiences and their stories. And story is powerful, but also telling your story and putting it down is healing.
Well, Scotty, you know, I mean, the reason I do this show is because I'm a big believer in the power of storytelling. And there were a number of stories that either intentionally or unintentionally were told in this documentary. To me, one of the more touching scenes was you were describing when you were in a cemetery looking at some of the white marble crosses there, and as a Gold Star mom, you're looking at these crosses saying, that was someone's son. That was some mother's son.
What caught my attention was, on those crosses, it tells where they're from, and at first I'm looking at all the various states they come from, but what really caught me was their first names. Our last names are, you know, hey, our last names are our last names. But the first name is, I know as a parent, it was really important to me to name my sons. And so as I'm looking at each one of those first names, they were cherished by their families, or hopefully most of their families, and their names were specially chosen for them. And I just kept looking at the first names because of the meaning behind naming your child. And here these children were never repatriated with their families. They're, you know, buried on foreign soil. But I was also shocked by how many crosses and Star of David there were. And the other thing that surprised me was that cemetery overlooks Omaha Beach where many of them died.
And why does that surprise you?
Well, you know, I've always seen pictures of the American Cemetery. I didn't really know where it was.
Okay.
Just the fact that they're buried above where, you know, about 2,000 of them were killed was, I don't know, it just, that's not where I expected the cemetery to be located.
Okay. Griff, you mentioned this was on a scale of 1 to 10, this was only a 3. You were definitely a much more courageous man than I then. And so you got the uniforms, you got the boots, you got the planes, you got the chutes, but this thing almost didn't come off. Kind of organized chaos. And explain to us what happened there where you're just like, okay, folks, just get on the darn plane and let's go, or else we won't be able to make the jump.
So I don't know if you guys saw, but Tom Rice, he's a 97-year-old World War II veteran. So the last time he jumped out of an airplane was into Carentan drop zone. On D-Day, and he was the kind of the pinnacle jumper for the group that we were with. So he was going to be on the very last plane. They had all the news reporters and all the media out there and everything else. And he essentially had his own kind of plane. So the first lift and the second lift were the Green Berets, Team Freedom, on the static line jump to open it up. And then we were supposed to be lift 3, and then Tom was supposed to be lift 4. And I knew that air operations really just, they kind of get really complicated. Things get delayed. Parts break, pit stops, whatever, and our timeline was compacting. And if there was any lift that was going to get bumped, it was going to be us.
Plus, and so the planes were late. Was flying into cons and into our airspace.
Yeah, so the French president was flying in just as we were supposed to take off, and I knew both planes didn't have a full stick, so each was about half loaded. So I figured, oh, we can just cram ours onto theirs. And so I saw Tom walking to what was supposed to be our plane, and I go, yeah, we're about to get bumped. And so we just drafted behind him. As soon as they got loaded onto the plane, I looked over at the event organizers, like, there's no way you're going to get our lift off with McCrone flying in. We got to get on this plane. And he's like, I can get you guys to 4,000 feet. And I was like, that's it. Let's go. And
Rangers,
so we all loaded on the plane.
Rangers lead the way.
Yeah, or one of the verbiages or the mottos of the Rangers is sua sponte, which means of your own accord, to take authoritative action.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of those sua sponte moments of get on the plane.
When Griff said, go now, sua sponte, I headed to the plane. I thought, there's no way I'm getting off that plane once I'm getting on that plane, and I'm not getting off that plane unless I fall out of that plane. So.
I love this story. I want to encourage folks again, go to YouTube, look up Here I Am, Send Me documentary. Griff, are there other places they can find it, or am I given the best option here?
It's under Devin Super Tramp.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to mention Devin. You know, thankfully, like our sponsors, Cisco, Google, Team Wendy, Sog Knives, like they all came together and we got an amazing video producer, Devin Supertramp, who's a YouTube superstar, and he came and decided to film it, and it's on his channel, and that's the best place to see it. And make sure you like, share, and comment, please.
Okay, when we come back after this break, Scotty, I want you to talk a little bit, lead us off with, you'd mentioned you'd always hoped to tandem jump with Christopher. That didn't happen, but I want to get your feelings of being under canopy there with Zach on this jump. And, you know, it kind of makes me smile. I interviewed some of the Band of Brothers actors, and they reminded me that many of these veterans from the Band of Brothers, the paratroopers, when they got home, when they flew home, that was the first time they actually deplaned from an aircraft. Every other case of them getting on a plane, they'd always jumped out of it before. They've never actually walked off a plane before. So, Scotty, you're kind of the reverse of that. Folks, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Scotty Domey, Gold Star mom of Christopher Domey, and Griff Griffin, the CEO of Combat Flip Flops. We'll be right back. American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're chatting with Gold Star mother, Scotty Domey, and Matt Griff Griffin, the CEO of Combat Flip Flops, retired Army Ranger. They did just a compelling and pretty unique dedication to all those who have gone before when they jumped out of historic World War II aircraft over the beaches of Normandy last year on the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. Scotty, in the documentary Here I Am, Send Me, Zach Carbo talks about how, who's the fellow that tandem jumped with you, how really part of his mission was keeping you calm during all this because he wanted you to be able to enjoy the jump. And what was it like for those however many minutes it was under canopy as you see yourself drifting down onto those fields behind Omaha Beach?
Well, actually, I didn't know Zach felt that way. To be honest, I wasn't scared at all because I was hooked to Zach. He's an extreme athlete. The only thing that I had a little anxiety about was I was going to do a jump before D-Day. And Griff said, hey, can you come up to Seattle and we'll do one with the team? So I rolled out of a plane with Zach, and we were stepping out of the C-37. So I felt a little anxious about that, but stepping out is way more fun than rolling. But it was really, it was just wonderful. I loved it. In fact, I said to Zach, because the first time we jumped, he let me pull on something on either side, and it kind of twists you around in the air. But I thought maybe if we pulled on those, we could stay in the air longer.
So, yes. Scotty, there's this thing called gravity.
So I asked Zach, can you make us stay up longer? and he said no. But we had gone to the jump site the day before to check it out. There were three fields. One where the wildflowers were like up to your shoulder. The other one had cows in their cow pies, and then the other was just a little strip of grass in front of the farmhouse. And Zach landed us right on that strip. But I had attended, so Hugh Bear was the guy who organized this, and I had listened to him give the instructions to the jump masters. Over here's the electric lines, here's the water. And so I come back to Zach, and I says, well, I know what to do now if we land underwater. I arch my back and lift my arms. Zach says, Scotty, just do what I tell you to do. I was taking in everything. But that was really fun.
And I tell you, folks, when you see the documentary, I mean, Zach is just a mountain of a man. I mean, honest to goodness, no kidding, he could have played Captain America in the
gorgeous
movies. Yeah. So,
everybody agrees he is probably one of the best looking men out there. Yeah, he is. He's a superhero.
And I've got a face for radio, so I'm going to leave it at that. But Griff, Scotty mentioned fields, and I want to say one of the points of the documentary that really got me in my gut was a scene, and I want to introduce it with just a personal experience. Several years ago, I was out in Pearl Harbor for a change of command for the USS Tucson, and the captain pulled some strings and allowed me to get billeted on Ford Island. when we're taking a tour through the harbor, I noticed back behind the USS Arizona Memorial a bunch of stuff that looked like litter and trash on the beach there of Ford Island. So when I got back to my hotel room, I grabbed a couple of garbage bags and decided I was going to go down there and pick up the litter. And I got down on those it's not really a beach, it's, you know, it's really rocks. And yeah, there were some tin cans and some stuff, but then I saw a sink. And I saw these wooden beams, and it, all of a sudden, I literally froze, Griff, because I realized I'm walking in a cemetery. I'm walking on hollowed ground, and literally the hairs on the back of my neck went up, and I got out of there. Tell us about your experience walking through those wheat fields.
So there's a very famous poem in the warrior culture called In Flanders Fields, and it essentially signifies it's the story of dying men on a battlefield and how they're going to be remembered, and they'll carry the battle forward, and they're symbolized by a red poppy. So we're driving to Point Tahoe one morning to go see where the Rangers scaled the cliffs on D-Day, the very famous scene from Saving Private Ryan. That's the scene. So we were driving to that spot where they scaled those cliffs, and we look over to the left side of the road, and the sun's coming up, and there was just a wheat field, but out of the wheat field was just thousands and thousands and thousands of poppies growing up in between. And we just said, hey, let's just stop and check it out. And I told Devin, the director, and Zane, the director, and Devin, the cinematographer, is like, hey guys, look up this poem. Like, these are the fields they are talking about in this poem, like these specific fields. And we just went out in the field, and you could just feel the angst and the anxiety and the loss of just of those fields. Like, since the beginning of warfare, from the Vikings all the way through to World War II, men have crossed those that stretch of dirt and have died in battle. And you could feel that energy there. It was really compelling. And so Devin and Zane and Carter and all those guys, they really shot that scene well. And I think it really solidified the message we were trying to portray to the viewer.
And I got to tell you, now obviously it resonated with me, but I think there's so many of us, Griff, and I appreciated that, because sometimes folks, they may not even know where they are, but I just believe that there's that vibe, if you will, you know, for lack of a better term, will always remain. And wow, that so many powerful thoughts and images communicated in this documentary. Here I Am, Send Me, Scotty. One of the other powerful comments I took from the documentary was Zach was talking about how, you know, now that he had jumped you in into Normandy, and you had that chance to do that tandem, that he hoped that he says, because he also knew your son and served with your son, so he said, look, that sort of filled a gap for me, that sort of checked a box and put that away for me. But he was a little concerned about you, and he said, I hope it does the same for Scotty. What?
Well, you know, that was the only place in the documentary where I cried. Zach made me cry when he said that. You know, to be honest, there's never any closure. Like, I would really like to go to the spot in Afghanistan where my son's blood seeped into the soil. I would like to go there. I've now seen it on Google Maps. I finally got the coordinate and saw it. But I don't think there's really ever any closure to your child being killed in war. But the more you learn, like, one of the guys who was there that night called me and told me everything that happened. And it settled me, because I was imagining all this stuff. But I don't know that there's ever closure. It's just an ongoing mourning journey that there are different things that triggers it and brings it back. But being there, one of the things that really touched me on Omaha Beach, there is a bronze statue of a guy carrying a wounded soldier. And that really hit me about what the Rangers are like. They don't leave anybody behind. They really care about their brothers. They have each other's backs. And so it was just, well, one, it was wonderful to be with these guys. because it's kind of the closest thing I can get to being near my son.
Well, Scotty, that's interesting, because I don't know if it was in the documentary or something we've covered when I've talked to you before in previous interviews, but I think, to paraphrase, you said one of the few times where you don't feel pain, where you feel a little bit of peace, is when you're amongst the Rangers.
Yeah, when I'm with Rangers or with Christopher's daughters, I don't feel pain.
Okay.
But there's always an underlying edge of never-ending pain. At certain times, it's more trigger. But I think the one thing that when we were in Normandy, the only way I could describe that whole experience was it was sobering. Just sobering to know what happened there. I was thinking about the civilians. How do you bury 425,000 bodies? That's how many people were killed before they liberated Paris. You're just imagining what would that be like to live there and have to, just experience the atrocities. Like one of the guys on Jean-Marc's team, I met him on Omaha, and he said, "See that bluff down there?" And it was 5 miles away. He said, "My dad was 23 years old, and he watched the entire invasion from that bluff." And the thing that really hit me was the history of D-Day is still real in France, and people understand their history. But Americans don't understand our history. They have no context for World War II or the just war that was fought.
Scotty, I tell you, that is a perfect transition to what I want to talk about in the last segment with you and Griff, is some takeaways from that. And I just want to share with our listeners as well, Griff also served or had trained on a couple of missions. He also personally knew your son Christopher, so there was definitely, at least for three of you, that very personal connection. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Scotty Domet and Griff Griffin about this amazing project that they undertook. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're talking about just a most excellent adventure that was put on film in a documentary called Here I Am, Send Me. You can find that on YouTube. Scotty Domet, who is the Gold Star mother of Sergeant First Class Christopher Domet, and then Matthew Griff Griffin, the CEO of Combat Flip Flops, were just among the unusual cast of characters, I'll put it that way, that jumped out over Normandy on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. Griff, one of the things that you mentioned, that your grandfather, was he killed or was he a prisoner of war?
Neither. So okay. He was a tail gunner in a British airplane.
Okay.
So he left Jersey when he was 17 to go, fly for the cause, because the Americans weren't yet involved in Europe, and he flew 52 missions before he got shot down, and then he got smuggled out by the resistance. So he was never a POW.
Okay, good. Well, I've never been more glad to be wrong. Let me just quote Ronald Reagan. And I don't remember if this was the quote that he gave there in Normandy when he was there to visit, but nonetheless, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom that we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-fought lessons of how they, in their own lifetime, must do the same. If you don't do this and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in America when men were free. Griff, I think at some point you made a comment to your grandfather about the greatest generation, and his reply to you. Share that with our listeners, because I think that is so important today.
So I'll just say, it wasn't a reply. I would imagine what he would have said to me. He died when I was 3 years old. But I can just imagine him, the type of guy that he was and all the stories about him, that if I were to say that, he would, roll his eyes at me. And he was always one about moving forward and being better than before. And so are you going to take that label as a statement, as a fact? You should more likely take that statement as a challenge. We need to challenge ourselves to being the greatest generation. We have plenty of problems that we need to fix that were just as large as the ones that they had to take care of in those days. They look a little bit different, and we need to step up right now to do that.
I tell you, and Griff and Scotty, I both would like both your perspectives on this. I just have always believed that context is always so important. And Griff, one of the things you said is, you know, looking out over those battlefields and those crosses and thinking about what you maybe and your comrades had gone through. For the rest of us, for the civilians out there, you know, we might be going through some challenging times, but the context, the perspective of, look, if these people, and when you said, I think when you look out over those beaches, you're thinking, how did anybody survive that? But if they could do it, you know, a little inspiration thought is, you know, if you're going through some challenges in your life, you know, think about those folks. Say, look, if they could do it, I can bear down and I can fix things myself too.
But what one can do, another can do. Everybody has it in them to work through challenges like that. We just have to dig deep and find out where that's at.
You know, Griff, you might consider writing a book.
I've already got one out right now, Steps Ascending, Rise of the Unarmed Forces, and Scotty's begging me to put a book out on this one as well. So we'll see how that goes.
Did you see how I did that?
Yeah.
Discreet is not something, you won't find my picture under discreet in the dictionary. Scotty, what's your perspective on that? You know, kind of coming back to this and wrapping up about just how important it is for us to never forget. And really the challenge is as we, you know, it's almost like putting another coat of paint on over another coat of paint over another coat of paint. And eventually people don't remember what color the original coat was, and just how important it is for us through a radio show or a book or a documentary to just keep reminding these future generations.
I'm all about context and understanding the times, you know, what it was like back then, but what can we take away from that? Because, you know, I see a lot of people make comments on Facebook, and I'm just going, oh my gosh, that is so out of context. And I think it's important to, well, one, to remember those sacrifices. Hopefully, you know, we don't ever have a war like that again. But if you understand what hasn't worked in the past, then you can do better in the future, hopefully. But that's about all I have to say, Ben.
That's all I have to say about it. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it, Scotty.
Yeah.
Griff, kind of playing off that, going back to the way we started this show and your company, Combat Flip Flops, do you see, is part of your motivation or part of what you've seen in helping to return opportunity and inspiration and independence and self-reliance to some of these communities in which you carried a rifle and you blew stuff up? Do you see that as part of the building those bricks up to help maybe keep us out of another war like World War II?
Yeah, it's really challenging. My daughter was born, you know, and I was listening to her being born on a satellite phone on my third deployment to Afghanistan. I missed the birth of my first child. And she is about 18 months away from being able to raise her right hand and go serve and be sent literally to the same war that I fought in. And I find that really challenging. And, you know, I got out in 2006. You know, Chris was killed in 2011. And there's been a lot more of my friends who have passed in that war in that time span over the past 14 years. And it's just sad to me that, you know, we haven't as a nation figured this one out. And we keep sending our men and women there. And they come home in flag-covered boxes. Or they come home very injured or damaged.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, if we lean forward as a private community and we start doing the right thing, which we know it's right, and, you know, coming together as a community and supporting the good members of that society, then good begets good, right? We have to put more good in. And I think that just over time, 10, 20, 30 years, you know, we hope to educate a lot of little girls. We hope to increase security through our business and all of those things. And we're leading the way for that. And now there are multiple other businesses that are veteran owned that are working and doing the same things in Afghanistan. And I think you're starting to see a movement that direction. And, you know, we'd like to think that we were part of that movement from the very beginning.
Sure. Scotty, go ahead.
I'm exploring for my next adventure. I really would love to go to the Middle East and Afghanistan and talk to other families who are Gold Star families. I think one of the things that we forget is yes, we're honored in this country as Gold Star families, but I think about the people in those countries. They've lost their loved ones, and they have, they even have greater losses because they're in the war and have lost more people. And I hope to get the opportunity somehow to tell their stories. I think their stories are important. What was this like for them?
No question. I tell you, that idea gets me very excited, Scotty. You know, particularly coming back to the context, your word of World War II, and now how you see the former adversaries, you know, those that are still living, or in the, you know, over the last few decades, where they've come back together. German, you know, a Luftwaffe pilot and a U.S. P-51 pilot, or some, you know, some Japanese that attacked Pearl Harbor, and some of the Pearl Harbor survivors, and just really putting closure on that conflict.
When Christopher was killed, you know, they told me the person basically that they were going after. And when I found out he was killed, I didn't feel like, yes, they got him. I kind of felt ill. He had a family that loved him. I mean, obviously, I didn't agree with, he was a great IED maker. And he was injuring and killing Afghanis every month with his skill set. I didn't agree with that. But yet, on a human level, there was, you know, there was lots of pain for his family. And I think that sometimes that we just forget that there is a common denominator among everyone. Like when we went to the German cemetery, there's six bodies buried under one cross. But I got thinking, how many of those were really German soldiers? Were they conscripts?
Mm-hmm.
Who a gun was put to their head and said, fight or we'll kill you right now. And just the human cost and loss and pain of war.
I tell you, Scott, to me, one of the most sickening moments of Saving Private Ryan is that scene where they get up on the cliffs and they're kind of going through there, and the two guys try and surrender and they shoot them. And I don't know if Tom Hanks and...
I can't watch those kind of movies,
right?
Because I imagine that's my son.
Well, and I tell you, I don't know if Tom intended this, but as I understand it, that they're actually speaking Czech, and what they were saying was that basically we're conscripts, we're Czech conscripts, we didn't want to be here, we're not Nazis, and of course, and so they were. So, Scotty, thank you so much. Griff, because you're the new guy, and because it sounds like you're moving furniture there in the background.
I'm sorry about that. I was okay. just moving around here in the office. I didn't realize you could hear that. I apologize.
No worries. Listen, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Folks, visit blacksidepublishing.com, combatflipflops.com, and Griff, you get to close. Where can they find this documentary?
It's on YouTube. Look up Here Am I, Send Me, full documentary. That's it.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find this podcast and others at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Follow us on Facebook. We've even got an Instagram page, LinkedIn. We're everywhere. Until next time, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.